Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Maroon Friday edition of the Yard. If you haven't been wearing Maroon on Fridays, we're going to need you to start next Friday because football season is here. It feels like it's been forever. I mean, honest to goodness, not just since football, but since we've played a sporting event involving Mississippi State. And really, it has been. But we're going to play a football game next Saturday at Davis Wade Stadium against Louisiana Monroe. We'll have Jeff Lebby's first game week press conference on Monday morning. Full coverage for free over at jeanspage.com once it concludes. So you can still get tickets, plenty of tickets available. Should be a great time. Have an evening game where you can see some of the great game day amenities that were installed last year. We don't get a ton of night games, so please make it a point so you can get the full Mississippi State football experience. I am jacked, as you can tell. But before we get into our first segment of the show, there was some big news out of Starkville today. There was a 1 o'clock press conference between the U.S. attorney from the Northern District of Mississippi, the Starkville Police Department, the Lowndes County Sheriff's Department, and the FBI. There was an arrest made, and we talked about this when it happened. A young man named Walker Montgomery, from a great family here in Starkville. The Montgomerys, if you know Starkville, you know the last name Montgomery. You do. I mean, they have been pillars within this community for generations. And the thing that I have kind of learned in my life is like, even there are people that you kind of know by face, maybe you meet once and twice, you feel like you know them. And I know a lot of Montgomerys. And so Walker Montgomery, and I want to be careful how I say this, right? So basically what happened is there was a sextortion type deal with Walker, who was 16 years of age. And all of a sudden, you know, some cute girl follows him on Instagram. They begin to trade some messages. And then some inappropriate material was exchanged. And, of course, it wasn't a girl. It was somebody that was trying to scam this young man. And he felt that he had nowhere to go and ultimately made the decision to end his life. To this day, it still wrecks me to my core that something like this could happen. And the Montgomery family, true to their heritage, would not let it lie and made some racket and went all the way to the federal government. Of course, the FBI gets involved. And from what I'm told, listen, I don't want to get political on the show, okay, period. This is not about who you and I voted for. This is about this family. Brian Montgomery had the opportunity to meet with Donald Trump. And I'm told Donald Trump told him, we will get this guy and we will bring him back to the United States. Well, the federal government made good on that promise today. They have brought the responsible party, or the alleged responsible party, to Oxford, Mississippi from Nigeria. They went and got him. And they brought him here. So press conference today was basically to announce the arrest. We have not been provided a name or a mugshot at the time of recording the show. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter to me who or what they look like, right? It didn't make any difference to me whatsoever. But the long arm of the law proved to be very lengthy in this case. And while it will not bring Walker back, perhaps it'll get some justice and protect some other families. There have been now some stricter laws that have been put in place to protect our young people. And if you guys recall, we talked about this tragedy on the show when it happened. And as I shared then, and I'll share again today, young people, and I know that I've got a lot of teenagers that listen to this show, on behalf of your parents and everybody that loves you, please listen to me. It's not that big a deal, okay? I understand in the moment it could be embarrassing, right? But chances are nothing's going to happen. And if it does happen, you know what? You're going to make it. When you're 16, man, everything feels like such a huge deal. It does. And granted, I wasn't 16 in a social media age. And then when something embarrassing happened in school and everybody knew about it, it was miserable, man. And so I can't begin to imagine, if there was photo evidence out there of you of an inappropriate nature, how to navigate that. But let me tell you this. If it had happened to one of my children, I would have done everything that I could to protect them. And I certainly would have forgiven them for any inappropriate behavior, right? You're a victim here, okay? First thing I'll tell you is you shouldn't be transmitting inappropriate material anyway. And certainly, if you're going to do that of your own volition, you certainly should send it to somebody you know and not some random stranger on the internet. Those are things that I think are incredibly important to understand. It takes some steps to protect yourself. But listen, for all of us that were 16 years of age at some point, you know what that's like when your hormones get to raging and things like that, and all of a sudden there's an attractive girl that's attracted to you or appears to be, and we were never victimized in this way. But this is not about what happened. This is about what's happening now. But I wish that every time there was a young person that got victimized like this, I wish I could just hug them and say, you're going to make it, okay? You're going to make it. It's not always going to be this way. Guys, I know some people, like I went to high school. Of course, there's no video or photographic evidence, but I know some people that did some really stupid stuff. Really stupid stuff. And I go back to before I met the bride, she had a friend that was a teenager that got a DUI. And he chose to end his life. And in the suicide note, he wrote to his younger brother, "Don't ever disappoint your parents." Could you imagine what those parents have felt with carrying the weight of that all these years? Again, but when you're 16, you feel like everything's the end of the world, and it's not. It's not. Life is long, if we let it be, more times than not, right? Of course, there are sometimes we are, we see people victims of unforeseen tragedy. But in a situation like this, it's important to understand these scammers, they're pros at this kind of stuff, right? I mean, they know how to put all the pressure on you to try to extort some money from you. But at the end of the day, just block them. Just block them. But I hope for all of those that loved Walker, that their memories of him are of him being young and happy and healthy and playing football for the Starkville Academy Volunteers, and that's what you remember. And it's a painful lesson for everybody else. And it's not limited to just Starkville, Mississippi. But at the end of the day, when they announced this press conference, I thought, well, maybe it's about the sex trafficking arrest, right? Because I talked about some of that on social media some time ago. They made all these arrests but didn't release any names. And I had somebody else in law enforcement reach out to me and said, hey, the reason they're not releasing names is because the investigation is ongoing. And the hope is, of course, that they will be able to use these individuals to capture more. And that they will be, once the investigation is over, they will announce the names of all the arrests. Because I want everybody to be held accountable, right? I mean, they ran my mugshot on the front page of the paper when I got in trouble at 19 years of age. So I think you deserve the same courtesy, right? We should all get credit for all the things we do, right? And again, that's kind of a testament too. I was 19. I was 3 years older than Walker. I never even think about those things anymore. Right? It's just not important to me. Like when it happened, when you're in the moment, it's so embarrassing and you begin to think your life is over, and it's not. It's not. You can make a comeback. It's true. But again, to all people, not just young people, to all people, be careful about what you do with, let's just say, adult content on your telephone. Be very, very, very careful about that. Some of you don't care. Some of you just don't have any shame. You're like, I don't care. And if it gets out there, it gets out there, right? But I would just caution you. You never know when relationships are going to change. You never know when a phone's going to get lost. You never know when that person may share that image with somebody else. And so it's important to protect yourself. Always protect the brand, especially when you're building a brand. But again, great job by everybody in law enforcement. I am a believer in the law, and I'm a believer in law enforcement. That does not excuse the fact that we got a few bad apples out there. That's the case in every profession, of course, as you read all the time about all these flock cameras and everybody tracking each other and stuff like that, which I'm totally opposed to, just so we can get it out there. I'm totally opposed to that. Why should I be surveilled as a law-abiding, tax-paying citizen and being treated like a criminal? You say, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, nothing to worry about. You're right, I don't have anything to worry about because I'm not doing anything wrong, which is exactly why I shouldn't be surveilled electronically, right? I didn't sign up for a George Orwell world, right? So I don't know how you feel, but again, all the things they tell us would never happen continue to happen. Every day, it seems like there's an arrest. And it's like, I saw one the other day, some guy like tracked his ex-girlfriend's car like 30,000 times, and he was arrested. And I had a discussion on Facebook at one of the Starkville groups, the Starkville City groups, about this stuff. And I said, I think law enforcement should be held to a higher standard. They have access to more sensitive information, right? And listen, again, I support, every time I've had to call the police, they've always shown up for me, right? But those that are bad apples, those that make the law enforcement community look bad, need to be held accountable. And yeah, it's one thing if I do something, but if there's law enforcement involved and they're able to use the infrastructure of law enforcement to basically stalk somebody, there needs to be stiffer penalties. Those are my thoughts. You may disagree. You're welcome to. I won't think any less of you, and I hope you don't think any less of me. But I believe in freedom. And I think I should have the freedom of mobility without being surveilled by the federal, local, or state government. All right, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. Man, we love Bulldog Burger Company. We do. We loved them. We loved them for a long time. We're glad they're a part of our lives, and they give us such great dining choices. When it's time for you to go break bread, look no further than Bulldog Burger Company. Their three great locations are there to serve you. The University Drive here in Star Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. I guarantee if you ask your kids where you want to eat, well, it's Bulldog Burger Company, Dad. Don't deny your kids the joy of living. Take them to Bulldog Burger Company today, and you especially are getting a little bit older. You know, women have never been hotter. Some could argue maybe men too, but it doesn't hurt, guys, to help that beauty care regimen with some spring rolls. You know, maybe have your wife have like a half one, you know, just for her enjoyment. But nevertheless, find your own favorites on that menu. You'll be glad you did. You can try the Bulldog. Like if you're a newbie, just stick with the Bulldog, right? Because you can't go wrong there, right? It's just a great straight-ahead rock and roll American hamburger. You can add a few amenities to it if you want. But if you want to get out on the wild side, maybe consider the Smash Burgers. They're great. I love them. I'm on that kick right now. And then when you get ready to ask for the check, just go ahead and tell them to include that Nutella shake to go. And you can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place for people to go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. Latest update on this, all this court stuff. I know it's confusing. I'm going to try to provide a little clarity. First thing I'll tell you is I'm not a lawyer. Okay, I'm not a lawyer. And if someone joked that maybe I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night, no, I didn't do that. I stayed at home. But again, I have lawyers, and I do turn on them from time to time to give me some insight. That football is back, and thank goodness for that. My friends over at PrizePicks bringing out their best offer to date. New users who sign up will get $150 in lineups. That's if you win your first $5 lineup. It's pretty simple. If you win your first $5 lineup, you get $150 in lineups. And now, PrizePicks is available nationwide. So what are you waiting for? Lock in for kickoff because everyone and everything is on PrizePicks. So, what are you guys excited about this football season? I think the Steelers are going to be better than many people expect. I'm all over that aspect of it. I think that Steelers defense is going to kind of return to form. I think Pittsburgh's going to make a run at this thing. in the AFC North. Maybe you see things a little bit differently, but you need to get in the game and get some skin in the game with me on Prize Picks. Now, Prize Picks is going crazy with the deals to start football season. They're just as excited as you and I are. They're giving you this new promo every day during a very stacked September. Make sure to sign up now for guaranteed picks every Sunday, along with profit boosts and daily discounts throughout the entire month. Plus, the app is very simple to use, and it's very user-friendly. You just pick 2 to 6 players and then pick more or less on their projected stats like pass yards, rush yards, fantasy score. It's the best way to get more locked in on game day. You can make all the picks you want across any sport, all in the very same app. Download the app today and use code BONEYARD to get $150 instantly in lineups if you win your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. Run your game. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey, if you could wake up tomorrow and just be better at one thing, what would it be? You know, maybe it's less doom scrolling. Maybe it's more time with your family. Maybe it's making more time for the things that bring enjoyment. You know, I'm a bit of a workaholic, to be quite honest with you. You know, I could schedule some time to do some things away from the office. You know, and I think all of that helps me. I enjoy my work, but sometimes it's just simply good to get away. You know, better is a feeling, and it's really defined by you. And for BetterHelp, it's a BetterHelp therapist who really gets you. It's a focus on global emotional well-being with thousands of therapists and millions of members in over 100 countries. Well, it's progress. You know, and maybe it's getting better at making more time for yourself to do the things that you love. Sign up today and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. Of a knowledge base that I don't have. But I am capable of reading, and it gets very confusing, as you guys know. It's like, well, hey, all this is in state court. Why don't they just move it to federal court? It's not that simple in a lot of cases, right? And then you think, well, you know, why don't they just consolidate the cases into one case and get one big ruling? You know, they'd love to do that. That's just not how the law always works. And so there's a few things I want to run down for you as I prepared for this. The first thing is, yeah, Jerron Manning and Malik Sewell, that thing is dead as far as Mississippi State goes. They're not going to continue to pursue this, right? I know some people are like, hey, let's just sue the SEC. And you guys, that is mutually assured destruction. That's what that is. And in the end, I think LSU is going to blink. And the thing I think about, too, is like, you know, you're part of a voluntary organization. Just this week, your president at LSU voted on the prohibition to ban pro players. Now, he abstained in the vote about the penalties. And the SEC has a right to have its own rules. And that was established in the NCAA versus Austin case. Now, that doesn't give them ultimate power, but it does give them some opportunities to make rules that are even more stringent than those of the NCAA. The problem comes in is when everybody else is doing it, it looks like a coordinated effort. And so there's some people out there that are using the phrase, you know, cartel, because that was one of the things that Judge Gorsuch, Chief Justice Gorsuch, wrote in his opinion from a unanimous court, was the phrase in cartel, right? So people kind of borrow those terms. So basically, you know, federal courts have lawsuits. Like, let's say for an example, you have multiple federal lawsuits about this eligibility issue, and all of the arguments are essentially the same. You could consolidate those cases. But state courts are independent of federal courts. Now, of course, you can continue to appeal on up the ladder. But when you have courts that are filed in U.S. District Court that are about the same issue, yes, you can consolidate those. But you can't take all of these cases and all these independent states and then elevate them to federal court. It seems like you should be able to do that. It seems like that would be in a more efficient way to do that. But, you know, we have state rights that are a part of this. And so, you know, federal law is federal law, which is one of the reasons we need the PCSA to pass. But all that understood, when it comes to these come to these state courts, you're going to have to deal with them on a state court level. You're going to do it, you're going to go from the district court or the chancery court to the appellate court, but you're going to have to fight that fire in each of the states. What's also interesting, too, is even with a lot of these eligibility disputes, you've got to have uniform federal jurisdiction. Okay, so that's one of those things, too, that we kind of talked about here. And there are some differences when it comes to jurisdictional issues, as you're aware. It's just like one of the things that I've read extensively is about how can the district court judge, Charlotte Sweeney, put together a nationwide injunction? Well, it was a class action lawsuit. And it was involving players from multiple states. So she has the authority to issue a ruling that impacts players nationally. Now, you could argue that's judicial overreach, but that's the way the law works, right? And partially, too, that like there's not a situation where you could have, you know, one venue. Like, you don't have the authority, of course, to tell somebody where they can file a lawsuit. There are a lot of people that go venue shopping, right? To give you a good example, like I didn't know this when I started writing books. We had to make the first books available for sale in Oktibbeha County to establish venue. So in the event that somebody wanted to sue me for defamation, it would be in Oktibbeha County. This is a little different scenario here. And so you can't move a case, let's say like this case in Colorado. The NCAA couldn't move it to a district that they found it was more favorable. You just don't have the ability to do that. Now, one of the things they can do is, it's really a handful of things. So you can have multi-district litigation. So when you've got, let's just say, a handful of these federal lawsuits, and again, the factual issues are all related, are essentially the same. In that situation, yes, you could combine those on the federal level and have that handled in one fatal swoop. You got a panel of judges, of course, that'll help you decide that. But that's a process. It takes months. Now, one of the things that helps, too, like a lot of you see a lot of these state cases talking about the Sherman antitrust. Like, it's a Sherman violation. It's all this. Well, that's a federal law. And so even if you file that in state court, but your argument is relying on the Sherman Act, which is a federal law, well, then the NCAA could petition to have that, because it is a federal statute, move that to federal court. And so there is some you know, mechanisms you can use in that respect, because, again, you get these things on a federal level, it's a little more easier to deal with. Now, one of the big things that we've seen is, like, with the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals stay, the NCAA has kind of weaponized that decision on the federal level to get stays in some of these state lawsuits. We saw that with Ohio and Tennessee, and it's just a matter of time before they get to the rest of them. And it's like, hey, this is a higher court ruling, and this is the language they use. And they also said that we're likely to win on the merits. And so that's one of the things they can do, too. But specifically kind of where they are now with this state court stuff is they're going to have to, those that are not applicable for a removal to federal court are going to have to be handled on the state level. So basically, the NCAA is going to have to fight a bunch of fires in these cases. And so if that means, you know, 10, 12, 13 cases is what you got to do. And there's a new one popping up all the time. One of the things that is interesting, and nobody's really talking about this, I wrote about this earlier this week, and I don't know if people are just unaware of it, or maybe it's not the big deal that I think it is. So the NCAA, of course, agreed to the House settlement last year. And everybody, for the most part, signed on to that. They agreed to the House settlement and the restrictions therein. And the House settlement, of course, established squad sizes. Well, you know, we're going to play our first football game on September 5th. we have to have our 105-man roster certified next Friday. That has to be done. We have to enter that into the NCAA database and say, this is our 105. That freezes the roster. So basically, we're not enjoining the house settlement, we're not challenging the house settlement because that's essentially codified law. You got a week to kind of sort this thing out. If not, it's going to carry in the next year. And then that becomes the question, right? Because you're not going to be able to get things resolved between now and then because there's just another hurdle, right? So even if you win, like on the merits, and the 105-man roster is locked in accordance with the house settlement, what do you do then? And that's a question I can't really answer. So let's say, for an example, you've been awarded the 5-for-5 but didn't get your court case heard in time to play this year. Does the court then use this as a redshirt year and allow those guys to play next year? Because, like, you see all these trial lawyers saying this is a one-time thing. You and I both know it's not. We didn't just fall off the turnip truck, counselor. We understand it'll just be a different issue next year. That'll be the argument. Listen, I got a tremendous amount of respect for lawyers. Goodness, I raised one, right? But there are some people out there, of course, that they're kind of weaponizing this to, like, build their own social media brand. Like, I've seen some of the trial lawyers that I think have been incredibly well-reasoned and even-handed and say, okay, listen, here's the NCAA's problem. Here's the plaintiff's problem. Here's what precedent shows. I enjoy following those people. I don't enjoy all the commentary that comes out from these people trying to dunk every time they win something, right? And it's not even a real win. It's until the player is on the field in an NCAA-sanctioned game, you haven't won anything. You're like, oh, we got a TRO. Well, the T stands for temporary, right? And so you may be able to play or participate under the guise of the temporary restraining order, but the NCAA has that rule of restitution. And then some courts think that they can prevent the NCAA from enforcing its own rules. And that, again, kind of goes back to the Alston case, right? You know, that was one of those things where the NCAA basically had their hand in their hat and said, okay, we got to figure this thing out, right? And next thing you know, there are some changes that are made. And so all of this is uncomfortable. And, like, I'm like all of you. Guys, can I just watch a football game? Can I just, you know, kind of write about a football game? Do I have to constantly be court TV? It's intriguing in the beginning, but the longer it goes, and it's like just when you think, okay, this soap opera is ending, you're like, oh, well, hey, the Wisney guys, they won in the U.S. 10th District. They won. Back on July 31st. Now everybody's got a fifth year. Okay, great, let's get those guys back. Then it gets moved to the appellate court, and that gets stayed. And again, they're going to have arguments on that September the 11th. What's interesting about that, it's after the certification date of the 105-man roster. Now, a lot of these players are basketball players, so they have a bigger window. Because, you know, again, I think it's December 1st, maybe, for winter sports, spring sports. I think that's right. You get to December 1st. But for football, it's different. And so because it is different, there's a different window. There's different issues involved here. And there are a bunch of football players that are a part of this. You know. And so how will the courts handle that? Because that was a house settlement provision. Interesting, too, I think about the LSU aspect. Like, does the NCAA, or more than likely the SEC, does the SEC file a federal lawsuit against LSU? Is that possible? It would be historic. But is it possible? Would the SEC sue one of its own members? Because the SEC had a unanimous vote on Tuesday for a prohibition on pro players. And the SEC is not responsible for what happens in any other conference. So what if the SEC file suit against LSU because it's, you know, LSU can leave. You know, they can pack up and go. They can give their notice and leave the Southeastern Conference if they want to. They can move to the Big 12 and probably have a clean path to the playoff every year if that's what they want to do. And when you're part of a voluntary organization, like I've seen, I think it was Tom Morris, my friend, that brought up about the Homeowners Association, right? We have a First Amendment right to freedom of expression. We do. So if I want to go paint my house chartreuse, I can do that. I'm not part of a homeowners association. I just got this big house out in the country, you know, a quarter mile off the road. I don't have any neighbors next door to me. So I can do that. However, if you move into a neighborhood that has a homeowners association, when you buy that home, it is a requirement for you to join the homeowners association. Now, you have the freedom of choice. You don't have to buy that house. You can buy another one. But if you do buy that house, you can't just go paint your house chartreuse like I can, because there are rules within the homeowners association that you agreed to. You voluntarily agreed to be a part of this association, and the association sets the rules. And for many of you that live in those neighborhoods with an HOA, you understand it can be very difficult at times. Hey, you didn't get your trash cans pulled back from the road in time, so we're going to fine you $25, right? Your shades in your front window don't match the requirements for our HOA, right? And so, again, you agreed to their rules and to play by their rules when you moved into the neighborhood and paid your HOA dues. You did. And so the principle pretty much is the same here, other than the fact there's antitrust, right? There's antitrust that's involved in all this. But the principle still applies, at least as far as association rules go. And so this, again, this is a historic undertaking when it comes to college athletics. And what happens here in the next few weeks is going to determine the course of college athletics for years to come. But I believe there very much is the possibility that if this Louisiana TRO doesn't get a stay from the appellate court, that the SEC would sue LSU and get a federal stay to enforce their own rules. And those are the things that I begin to kind of think about. What are the implications of that? Does that run LSU out of the SEC? You know, the Big 12 would love to have them, right? LSU feels like a good fit there. But whatever happens, the status quo is likely not going to be continued. There's going to be change. And I think Greg Sankey and that bunch, I just wouldn't play with them. That's my feeling. Especially when I went and voted, because that's going to be used against me in court. It's like, not only are these our rules, you voted for these rules. You voted along with the other 15 teams in the Southeastern Conference that we would have a prohibition on pro players on our rosters. You voted for that. That's on record. It's now public record. And you say, well, we abstained from the penalties. Well, the rule still passed. And that's something, obviously, that would be argued in the federal lawsuit between the SEC and LSU. And I suspect what the SEC could do is get a federal lawsuit filed and have a TRO, an injunction, that kept these guys off the field. And again, the thing that I go back to, and again, I'm not as conservative as some, but I'm not one that's willing to put myself and my organization in harm's way, because I don't know what a judge is going to do. And that's one of the things the last month has taught us. You just never know what a judge is going to do. You don't know, you know. And a lot of it, I mean, again, some of these decisions are made without even having a hearing, right? And that's the thing, too, you begin to think about, too. Like, we all hear about due process and stuff. If I get taken to court, I should have a right to a defense. right? I mean, that should be a constitutional thing. And it's like, well, you know, why would it be ex parte, something of this magnitude? But all of that understood. This is a scenario, too, where I just think we're going to see something happen that is probably unexpected. I mean, just like we saw this week, NCAA's having trouble winning somebody's court cases on the state level, but they're getting the appellate relief. And so, well, how do we keep these guys off the field? How do we protect the integrity of the game? Well, okay, we'll just ban the use in our conference, because the Alston lawsuit kind of reiterates our right to association and our rights to establish our own rules. And then again, everybody kind of goes along with it, plays follow the leader, and it looks like a concerted effort to circumvent the court. That's how it looks. And we can say what we want to, but that's certainly how it looks. So in the event that you filed this lawsuit against LSU and you had a stay that kept these guys off the field, you know, how quickly can they get that on a docket somewhere? You know, if you were the SEC, you just drag a thing out as long as you can, right? And then maybe you have to deal with it later. But the thing that I go back to with every bit of this, two things. Everybody that signed, including Jerron Manning and Malik Sela, they signed under the 5-4-4 eligibility model. That's what they signed up for. They knew that when they signed. Nobody knew then there was going to be 5-for-5. And so they got what they signed up for. I guess three things here. Secondly, when have we ever allowed pro players from American sports to come back and play collegiately? Hadn't that always been kind of the standard for your amateurism? And again, don't message me about, well, they're not amateurs anymore. They're still amateurs. If you sign a pro contract, violate your amateur status, right? So that's been established protocol for decades. And you got, of course, then you got, you know, the ban on intra-conference transfers too. But at the end of it all, you know, when I get to every bit of this, is that it is not a right to play college sports. None of us have the right. It's a privilege. And your talent, your ability, you know, your play, your character affords you that privilege. But every scholarship has always been like, you know, year to year, right? You got the right to transfer. You guys wanted the right to transfer every year. And it's sometimes twice a year. And so at what point do we have some protections for the schools? That's the thing that I get back to. At what point do we say, okay, listen, enough's enough with this? So there is going to be at some point a hallmark or benchmark case that kind of brings a stop to this. And it may be a scenario where we have to go collective bargaining, which is one of the things that we've talked about for 5 years on this show, that's probably the best way to go. You know, or we can pass the PCSA. And I think this chaos, kind of unbeknownst to people that I think are in the middle of all of this, I think all of this chaos is actually probably getting more votes for the PCSA. Now, we don't know what's going to happen until next month. But the NCAA said from the beginning, we have to get this bill passed or it's going to be chaos. Well, chaos is exactly what we've had throughout the month of August. All right, time for today's top 10 list, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair Chandler, my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry, been with us a long time, man. He has been. Very grateful for his sponsorship and his friendship. He's your friend too. Phone number 601-500-2344. Save that number on your phone as Mortgage Guy. You may forget the name, you won't forget the need. And if you do forget it, hit me up, I'll help you. The dream of home ownership has eluded many. Sometimes it's because you're not quite ready. Other times, maybe you entrusted your mortgage business to someone that couldn't get you approved. Blair knows underwriting backwards and forwards. He can construct loans to give you the best chance for approval and get off the hamster wheel of renting, right? build some generational wealth, put your money in a big house, get yourself a pretty wife. Let Blair Chandler help you with the first. He can't really help you with the latter. He's done okay in his life. But the reality of it is you need somebody that can get things done. Get his 25 years of expertise working for you. It's a meat grinder of an industry, man. It's a tough deal. Sometimes underwriting wants like a note from your mom, pint of blood, lock your kid's hair from his first haircut. You know, it's ridiculous the stuff they ask for. You need somebody that can be your advocate. That's Blair Chandler. He's a bulldog through and through, but you don't have to be a bulldog to utilize his services. Be sure and hit him up today. Licensed to practice in multiple states. That's closewithblair.com. All right. I told you guys on Wednesday what we were doing today. It didn't stop you from messaging me. And a bunch of people said, Steve, you know, we got to get a Dolly list. And we have one today. And I thought, you know, we've done Dolly before. But how about the top 10 Dolly duets? And some of these are a little more modern, and some of them are classics. So top 10 Dolly duets, and I'm going to go with one that's really recent. So a few months ago, Motley Crue collaborated with Dolly Parton for a new version of Home Sweet Home. It's basically the same one that was on the Theater of Pain album, except for Dolly did some fill-in work and then also sang the second verse. And I love it. I really do. Love it more today than I did before. But the duet with Motley and Vince Neil, Home Sweet Home at number 10. Number 9, I don't know, I haven't verified this, but I've read this a couple places, that Dolly Parton is actually the godmother of Miley Cyrus. I don't know if you knew that. That's kind of a cool little bit of trivia. Well, they collaborated on a couple of songs, including one called Rainbow Land. And when you put that track on, there's actually a phone message from Dolly to Miley that is the intro to the song. And how cool is that? And she goes, hey, I'm busy just like you. You know, we can never find enough to do. I know exactly how that feels. But that's your number 9 track, Rainbow Land with Miley Cyrus. Number 8. Now, this is a collaboration, too, that I wasn't sure was going to work. But it did, and it's great. It's with Norah Jones, and many of you know Norah, of course, from that, you know, I don't know why I didn't come. But they worked together on a track called Creepin' In, and it's great. It really is. If you've not watched Jury Duty on Netflix, it's interesting. Season 1, I think, was better than Season 2, but in Season 2, you have an appearance by Grammy Award-winning artist Sia. And her and Dolly collaborated on a track called Here I Am. And again, very powerful vocals, as you would imagine. Number 6. Now, this is a more modernized rendition of a Dolly Parton classic. And I had not heard this because I'm not a country music guy. And it's nothing against you that are. But I hadn't heard this. Now, I remember back in my drinking days, which was, over 3.5 decades ago, I used to love Vince Gill. Even though I was a rock guy and a dance guy, I loved Vince Gill. There was just something about his voice, you know, that just, you know, kind of stirred up some. I remember riding around drinking a beer, listening to Vince Gill, crying about a girl broke your heart, man, you know. But they got together and did a very emotional version of I Will Always Love You. And I will. I will. We may not get to hug and hang out, but I will always love you. Number 5. This song starts a little bit disjointed to me, but man, it really picks up steam. And it's Sabrina Carpenter with Dolly. And the title of the track is Please, Please, Please. I don't know if it's a cover or not. There's a part of me that thinks it may be. Even if it's not, we're going to have it on the list today. Now, I think the top 4 are absolutely outstanding. She did a great song with Brad Paisley. And I know many of you are Brad fans. It's When I Get Where I'm Going. And I think Dolly's part on this carries the song. It's very haunting, almost. You hear her voice, and it's just like, it's just kind of wild. Like the authenticity in her voice and the grace in which she sings. Incredible. Number three is not actually a duet. It's a collaboration. It's a trio. And there's an album with these three ladies. Linda Ronstadt, Emmylou Harris, and Dolly got together and made a record together. Had a big hit called To Know Him Is To Love Him, which was clearly about me and you, right? It's an interesting... It's like hearing these three legends work together. And aren't you, but now that Dolly's gone, don't you look back in hindsight and say, man, isn't it great that we had all this stuff? We got to live through this and we still have a piece of her that we can hang on to. Number two, and this goes back to our hee-haw days. I used to think that Dolly Parton was married to Porter Wagoner because they did so much together. They were basically, you know, kind of like an act. And I was in the infancy of Dolly's career. But it's Please Don't Stop Loving Me. Probably the biggest hit the two of them had together. Super great. But number one, you know it before I even say it. How could it not be? And there were times when I was a kid, I was like hoping Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers would get married. Of course, Dolly was already married to the love of her life. Little did we know that. Her husband kind of stayed in the background. And isn't that kind of a wonderful thing, too, just to kind of let your bride, who is a superstar, have the spotlight? I mean, in modern culture, that's the rarity, right? Everybody wants to level jump at somebody else's expense. There was no Kevin Federline in Dolly Parton's life. But it's Kenny Rogers and Dolly singing Islands in the Stream. And I guarantee you, many of you have put that song on here in the last few days. And it's made you smile. And I think what's so interesting, too, and again, it just kind of magnifies the star that Dolly Parton was. All these great stories that have come out, like the things she did with her money. I mean, how much money does a person need to live on? You know, she continued to work and do all these great things. And, of course, they had Dollywood. But she was so incredibly generous. And there are people that have come out of the woodwork and said, hey, in our businesses, you know, dire straits, Dolly Parton stepped up and helped us. And so many people, like when the news made the rounds, it was all over my Facebook, oh no, not Dolly, right? And we knew at some point we would lose her, but she's one of those people till you look back and say, you know, even though she's been alive our entire lives, you feel like she was going to live forever. And she will, you know. And just released today that the Nashville Airport will be renamed the Dolly Parton Airport, which I think is fitting. I will be flying out of there, flying through there on my way to Minnesota. But I think it's a super cool thing. And it's one of those things, too, is we're so sad that she's gone, but we're so glad that she lived, right? There's so many wonderful things that she did. And again, it's just to see so many people from all walks of life that are sharing in this loss with us, right? It's just one of those things, like, we talk about icons, you know, and the term the GOAT is thrown around so ridiculously often these days. There really hadn't been a greater, you know, female country superstar than Dolly Parton. I mean, it's like, in many respects, it's almost like Elvis, right? I mean, it's the just the truth. When you mentioned Dolly, you didn't have to say Dolly Parton because everybody knew who she was. They knew her story, and her story was one of magnificence and grace. And wouldn't it be wonderful if the same could be said of all of us, you know, when we pass away? But that won't be the case. But, so for all of you that are still kind of dealing with this, it's just, you know, it's one of those things you look at, and again, you just feel like, you know what? Life is fleeting, man. And, you know, I've had so many people that have hit me up in recent days and saying, dude, you've got to get this book written. You've got to get this book written. And trust me, I know we're not going to have these icons forever. So we owe it to ourselves, you know, to document these things for future generations. We do. And there'll be some stories that I'll never write. And I wrote in the prelogue, the preface of Alpha Dogs. One of the things that makes me sad is there's so many of those great stories of bulldogs from years gone by that we never got to tell and that we'll never get to tell. That's what made the Calvin Heimel story so important to me last week. And but it's just so nice to be able to do that, to just kind of shine a light on somebody that felt like maybe they were forgotten, you know. So we got to get to work on some stuff. We do. And I got to get motivated and kind of figure out what we're going to do next, right? But, trust me, we have plenty of ideas. But, times like these, you begin to recognize that you're not going to have these opportunities forever. and you have to make some steps in the right direction to kind of get these things done. It's important to me. It's important to you. And I've had a lot of former players that have reached out to me and said, "Steve, I really need you to write this book. I need you to write this book." And so yeah, we're gonna get moving. We're gonna get moving. And it's so tough to do it during football season, but we can do some other things. And that's just kind of how life works sometimes. You just got to make things happen. You got to strike while the fire is hot, as they say. But I guess what is the iron? But nevertheless, hope that you enjoy our list. You can find our list on Spotify under the handle Dogmatic67. If you have suggestions, hit up Roy Samanti, my friend. I had breakfast with him last weekend as he was setting up there. What's it called up there? I can't remember. It's not the terrace. But anyway, something up there. I don't know. I don't sit up there. But anyway, they were getting all their stuff set up for Davis Wade Stadium for next weekend. And we had breakfast. But you can follow Roy on X at Dogmatic67. That's DawgMatic67. And you can find me on all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Stark Billion institution. And the grandkids got their Mississippi State care package yesterday. I want to brag on Campus Bookmart a little bit too. I ordered that. Let me just double check, just because of the fact that I want to get the details right here. So let's see here. My Campus Bookmart order was confirmed. Let's see here, on August 26th. Is that right? Yeah. 25th. So I ordered on the 25th. Today's the 28th. My grandkids got their Mississippi State wares yesterday, the 27th. It was originally scheduled to be delivered today. They got it there in 2 days. And that's one of the things, too, like, and guys, you know that I support small business. This is going to be a little bit of an elongated ad for them. And this is why I love Campus Bookmart, okay? Just to give you a little context. Ordered some clothes last week. As I've told you, I still don't have them all. And I like to promote small business. I own two small businesses. And so, yeah, I want to support other small business. I think it's good karma, right? There are other people out there just like me and Dana grinding, trying to make a living, doing things their own way. One of the things I hear a lot from people is Amazon is the devil, right? And so I consider that. There are sometimes I have to get things from Amazon. I do, right? And a lot of the clothes that I buy, I don't buy locally. My Mississippi State stuff I do, but there's a lot of other things that I buy because they just don't have retailers here to carry my style, right? So I have to go order stuff. And I ordered something from Seattle last week on Monday. It's going to get here next Monday. So 2 weeks, right? I grew up in a time when it was 4 to 6 weeks for delivery, and that would have been great. I got it in 2 weeks. It's great. Guys, if you're a small business, and it wasn't just one package that was delayed. It was all of them. Like, I think the only thing, I got some Doc Martens. I got those quickly. Everything else, Doc Martens is a big company. But all my small business stuff, it's taking forever. You can't complain about Amazon and ask people to support small business if you're not going to move like a big business. Campus Bookmart is a small business that moves like a big business. I just told you guys, I order on the 25th. It's delivered in Arkansas on the 27th. It's not like I ordered and they just brought it to my house in town. And so that's one of the things, again, a benefit of being with Campus Bookmart is they know how to get things done. And guys, it's right here, you know, on the precursor, the week before college football season begins, and I'm getting a package shipped a state away in 2 days. I buy it, 2 days later, my grandkids have it. So, you know, forgive the testimonial and the editorial here a little bit. But you know, I want the things that I bought, but I shouldn't have to wait weeks to get it, right? And that's one of the things that impressed me so much is like after what I've gone through in the last 2 weeks trying to get merch, I order something for somebody else from Campus Bookmart to send a care package from Starkville. And it's just like I ordered from Amazon, right? It's like, it's immediate. It's incredible. And so I just wanted to share that personal testimony. And yes, I use my own promo code BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson, and that got me free shipping. That, again, is an added benefit, too. That even with the promo code, I'm getting elite quality shipping. It's not like I use a promo code and then I get it there in a week to 10 days. It's great work, man. And I wanted to share that with you guys. My most recent personal experience doing business with Campus Bookmart was absolutely exemplary. It was elite service-wise. And I ordered it in the evening. It's like I ordered it like 9 o'clock in the morning on the 25th. It was like in late in the evening. And the next day, it's packaged. It's shipped. The next day, they have it. Incredible service, man. Incredible. So when you're looking for Mississippi State merchandise, and you should be, stop by and see them when you come to town. But if perhaps you can't and you want to support a Starkville business, and I'm a big proponent of that, this is a small business from Starkville that will give you big business treatment. Be sure and check it out today, campusbookmart.net. All right, we have football tomorrow. We had some FCS games on Thursday night. Did you see that, like Louisiana Christian or whoever it was beat Northwestern State? An NAIA school beat Northwestern State? I think I saw they're 1-29. That's tough, man. So we get some big boys on Saturday. Our day will begin North Carolina versus TCU in Ireland. TCU is favored by 9.5 points. And that's one of the things that you begin to ask yourself. Is the Bill Belichick experiment, and that's what we can kind of title it, is that going to end this year? I mean, there's been so many off-the-field distractions there too. And they're going to play TCU. And, of course, TCU kind of involved in a little bit of a controversy too, as they banned their primary print newspaper from covering the football team because they broke a story that was unflattering to the university. Now, TCU is a private institution. It's not state-funded. So it's not a First Amendment issue in that respect. Now, you could probably argue on some of those same principles, but it's not like you've got state actors working for TCU. It's a private entity. Kind of goes back to the whole SEC thing, right? But that understood, that's been a distraction too. And basically what happened, supposedly, TCU reported on a locker room incident where there was an assault and then ultimately a player was dismissed from the team. They said there had been some bullying within the program. TCU disputes that. But at the end of the day, there was a player that was dismissed. So in some respects, the TCU media is somewhat absolved there. But Sonny Dykes has done this kind of thing before. They don't like the way somebody's reporting stuff. They just kind of restrict your access. And, you know, my thinking behind all of that is it makes you look guilty, right? If there is a material story and the media has it and they contact you to give you the opportunity to tell your side of the story, you choose not to and they run the story anyway, you can't complain. That's my feeling. And so, anyway, it'll be interesting. But yeah, I mean, TCU favored by 9.5 in Ireland. And the thing that I think about with all of this is, like, what does next week look like? Like, after you go play the game, then you got to come back. That's a lot of time in the air, a lot of travel. San Jose State's at USC. That'll be a 2 o'clock game on NBC. USC favored by 38.5. You know, honestly, I'm not a gambling man, but if I was, this is one of those games I might take a chance on. That's a lot of points, especially in week one. Because at the end of the game, you're probably going to play some younger guys, right? You're probably going to have this game well in hand, and you may see San Jose State score a garbage touchdown or two late. Not advising you guys, but just kind of telling you that's what I'm thinking. And what's interesting, too, you know, people talk about ticket prices and things like that, and it's a very expensive trip for me to go to Minnesota. You can get a ticket to watch San Jose State in the Coliseum for $10. Yeah. NC State's at Virginia, and Virginia's got a ton of players injured for this game. I saw the injury report last night. I couldn't believe it. It's double-digit players. But the Cavs, the Hoos, UVA is still favored by 4 points. And what does that say about NC State? This game's going to be played in Charlottesville. You can get in that game for about $45. But, an ACC game right out of the gate for both teams. And, Virginia last year had a pretty good season, but they weren't great offensively. So it'll be interesting to kind of see what the Wolfpack has kind of stirred up for them. That could be an interesting game. I like UVA even with the injuries. Jacksonville State and North Dakota State, that'll be on the CBS Sports Network. It's going to be in the Fargo Dome. If you haven't seen the movie, I'd advise you to do so. And North Dakota State, favored by 6.5. If this was a baseball game, it'd be much different. Wouldn't be played September or August. But, that's going to be, if you're looking for something to do before the night games come on, maybe you just flip over. You finish up NC State and Virginia, just flip over and watch that. Sacramento State and Eastern Michigan at 5:30. Who really cares? Hawaii, the Fighting Rainbows, will be at the Stanford Cardinal. That's going to be on the ACC Network. And Stanford favored by just 4 points. You guys, Stanford football, do you remember like when Stanford was good? Right? You remember all this, right? I mean, it was just, it's just one of those things that you look at and say, they should always be good. And we think the same thing in baseball. But really hadn't turned out to be the case. Stanford football, I mean, it's like, wasn't too terribly long ago, that we're watching some Stanford football. We just feel like, these guys are doing a good job. They're not anymore. Let's kind of look at it here, too. John Donahoe, the AD there, Andrew Luck, the general manager. New brand new coach, Tavita Pritchard, is the head coach there. And, we'll see kind of how things go. But, man, like they hadn't won the Pac-12, not that such a thing exists anymore, since 2015. That's a long time ago. But, man, it feels like forever since Stanford has been relevant. You know what I'm saying? That's just kind of how it feels. And I'm looking up here just to kind of see how bad it's been. Because if you're like me, like I just don't pay attention to these things until they cross the radar. You remember Pop Warner coached Stanford? But Stanford has not had a winning season since 2018. And then they struggled. Dave Shaw was there for a long time. David had a great start to the career. He takes over after Harbaugh leaves. And then it's an 11-win season. They go to the Rose Bowl a couple times. Take a step back, have an 8-5 year, but they win the bowl game. Then it's right back at 12 wins, and they win the Rose Bowl and finish third in the country. Then it's 10-3, 9-5, 9-4, and then the wheels come off. So in 19, they go 4-8, and then 4-2 in 2020. 3-9, 3-9. They fire David Shaw. They bring in Troy Taylor. He goes 3-9. Then they make the move to the ACC from the Pac-12. Troy Taylor goes 3-9 again. They fire him. They bring in Frank Reich last year, and Frank goes 4-7. And so it has been since 2018 since they've had a winning season. And that year they went 8-4 and won the Sun Bowl. And so you can kind of do the math on that. That's 7 consecutive losing seasons since then. Been a tough stretch. And so, favored by 4 against Hawaii. If Hawaii beats them, oh my gosh. The New Mexico State Aggies will be at Florida State. And speaking of people that have struggled, and we've talked about this recently on the show about Mike Norvell being on the hot seat. Florida State, of course, there was a lot of people that were like, dude, this is just not fair. They didn't make the playoffs. And your quarterback goes down, and people are like, well, kind of makes sense to us. But, when Norvell was at Memphis, he was one of the hottest names in the college carousel. In 4 years at Memphis, he never won less than 8 games. Now, they struggled to win bowl games under him. But 8-5, 10-3, 8-6, they lose a bowl game every year. And think about that. 17, they were 10-2, finishing a top 25 finish. In 19, they go 12-1. And it has been a wreck, right? So you're 3-6, 5-7. But you're trending in the right direction. And maybe that gives us some hope, too. Because like Mike Norvell's like, 3-6, 5-7. Hey, we went 2-10. And then 5-7. And lost a bowl game to make us 5-8. Well, then Florida State won 10 games. And finished in the top 10. The next year, they go 13-0. Don't make the playoffs. They get smashed in the Orange Bowl. Finished with the number 6 ranking. And since that time, they've won combined 7 games in 2 years. 3 of them in the ACC. 2-10, 5-7. So they're 38-34 in the Mike Norvell era. And 23 of those wins came in 2 years. So you begin to kind of back out the math there. So you win 23 in 2 years. And then you win 15 in 4 years. That's brutal, man. And so I don't know what kind of team New Mexico State's going to have this year. You know, Florida State's favored by 31.5, and it almost feels like that it would be easy money the other way. And maybe there is. But I just feel like this Florida State thing is going to be one of those things that – because the media is going to be all over them, right? The first time they lose a game, and they may lose next week. They get SMU next week. SMU's ranked 19th in the country. Then they got to go to Alabama. Guys, if they start the year 1-2, even with Central Arkansas coming in, Norvell may not make it to Halloween. There's a stretch there after you get to Central Arkansas. You get Virginia at home, then you're at Louisville and at Miami, both of those teams currently ranked in the top 25. Then you get Clemson. And Clemson wasn't great last year, but they're going to have athletes. And so Clemson plays them on Halloween. And so, again, you start looking at this thing, and, you know, conceivably, the season could be over by Halloween. You could already have 5 or 6 losses by Halloween. That is absolutely conceivable. And some people are thinking, well, you know, Florida State will be better this year. I just don't know if that's a fair assessment or not. That's just my personal feeling. You know, because, again, when you look at this thing and say, you know what, he won big at Memphis. He had one really big year here at Florida State. But, man, when I've won 7 games in 2 years, I got 17 losses in 2 years at Florida State. What a proud program they have been. It's nuts, man. And what's crazy, too, you start thinking about, you know, the fact that he's got, you know, had 6 years at Florida State, won 38 games. Had 4 years at Memphis, won 38 games. Maybe Mike Norvell is just a G5 coach. That you know, worked himself into a situation where he got a great check. But maybe he's not capable of coaching and recruiting at this level. That's always been my concern about having that G5 coach take over. You know, now everybody's looking for the next Urban Meyer. It just doesn't always work out that way. G5 guys, they recruit and they fish in different ponds. They don't know an SEC player until they see one. But they also don't have the skill set to recruit those guys because they may recruit them when they're at Memphis, but they know they're not going to get them. And then you're in Florida State. You got to deal directly with Florida and Miami for the blue chips and Georgia's for the blue chip prospects. On top of that, that second tier guys going to South Florida and Central Florida. You know, so there's no gimmies when you're recruiting in the state of Florida when you're Florida State, even with that tradition. Florida State favored by 31.5. Memphis at UNLV, that'll be your late game on Fox. You can get in the gate for $43 at Allegiant Stadium there in Vegas. And it looks to be a very tight game in the eyes of oddsmakers. They have Dan Mullen's crew favored by 4.5 at home. And, you know, there's always like that 3-point differential. So, basically, it's just above a pick'em game. And I think this whole thing with Memphis is going to be interesting, too. You know, Silverfield leaves and several of their players hit the portal. So Memphis is going to kind of have a hodgepodge roster. So I just don't know how that's going to play out. But, again, these are the last year that we'll have, quote, week zero games, which was stupid in the first place. Who thought that was a good idea? This is going to be called week one from now on. You know, the thing about it is I don't care what the national schedule looks like. Like, for me, my life revolves around the Mississippi State schedule. So our week one opponent is Louisiana Monroe. It doesn't matter what everybody else calls their first game to be. It just doesn't matter. So that's your Saturday schedule. So, you know, hey, kids, if we can make it to bed tonight and wake up in the morning, we get a chance to watch some real college football. on Saturday. Not Mississippi State football, but real college football. With teams you know against opponents you know, more times than not. But yeah, it's interesting. Some conference stuff. And again, some Power Four matchups kind of right out of the gate. Would you guys go to Ireland for a game? I feel like I have to. It's going to be a once-in-a-lifetime type experience. But, man, could you imagine how much trouble that'd be, you know? I mean, you got to get your passport and all that kind of stuff. And transcontinental flight. It'd be a commitment, man. But you'd be able to look back one day and say, I went and watched the Bulldogs play in Ireland. Wouldn't it be crazy, like, if they offered that? Like, next year, they just, like, any day now, they announced next year Mississippi State's going to go to Ireland or London to play a game. You have to go. You got to find a way to get it done. But, it's interesting that we play these international games. And I think it's great for our, you know, our servicemen and women that may have the opportunity to go, even if you're not a fan of these teams, just to enjoy some real American football. It's a great thing. And people talk about, you know, expanding the game. Let me tell you, the lads of Ireland may watch it as a novelty, but no, it's not going to catch on, guys. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. The best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, bar none, especially if you bring a large group to town, and you should, right? You love Starkville. We love Starkville. Come make some more memories here in Starkville. We love it when you're here. We do. And us locals have kind of learned how to navigate around a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about that shortly. But, guys, you know, some of the greatest memories you have is having everybody under one roof. And the older we get and the more established our children get in their own lives, it's one of those things where it's more difficult to work out the scheduling. It just is. So when you can maybe plan ahead and say, hey, we're going to get everybody together. We're going to go hang in Starkville and go to our favorite restaurants and shops. We're all going to stay together at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. People will say, you know what, that's a destination type appointment for me. Let's make that happen for you. You be the linchpin in your friend and family group. You make the plans. Start checking availability. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate for you. It's true. And you can check out all the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guests, the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the fabulous back porch area, and the fire pit area. Going to be getting cooler sooner rather than later. At least the humidity will let up a little bit here in the first few weeks of September. We hope. Now, when you do that Google search, you're also going to have some booking options. You can go through Airbnb or Vrbo if you want, but if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10, that's BSR10, to get 10% off your stay. Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. I mean, you can do your tailgate right there, right? And then you get all that stuff done, and you can come back and watch some evening football, because we're going to play a lot of daytime football this year. But it's not just open during football season. It's open 365 days a year. So plan your trip to the Stark Vegas Clubhouse today. All right, a couple things in our potpourri segment of the show. On Wednesday, I kind of teased you all just a little bit because we've had a story we've been sitting on for weeks. And that's Mississippi State women's basketball completes the roster with a brand new player from Italy, Ludovica Sammartino, is now part of the Mississippi State family. They call her Grace, just you guys know, right? I'm kind of getting confused here. We had Grace Indubize that we added, and then we've added Ludovica. I don't know exactly what her nickname is, but Ludovica Sammartino. I'm getting up to speed too. Pipe down, okay? But yeah, she's going to be the final player. And Sam Purcell did a lot of teasing on social media too. But this is something that has been in the works for weeks. And, you know, a young lady that we feel like can come in here and help us. And the thing about it is, too, is like I'm somewhat optimistic about the ladies, to be quite honest with you. And I think a lot of it's just because of how well we've done in the portal. And so these international players did not get the benefit of you know, the summer workouts, but they've been playing basketball. It's just going to be about building some chemistry now. And so Now the women's basketball roster is complete. And I think when you go back and you think about, you know, how NIL and the transfer portal kind of changed things, one of the things on the women's side, it didn't change that a lot when it came to basketball. Yes, NIL is a factor, but it's not maybe perhaps what it is with, you know, some other programs. But, you know, I think Sam's done a good job. I know last year didn't end the way we wanted it to, but I think when, and I'm pulling it up now, but when you begin to think about what we've done in the portal, really in the past several months, it's incredible. It truly is. And, yeah, you got some players coming back. But, yeah, you go get Tootie Lockhart from Itawamba. You know, that's a local young lady that has dreamed of playing here. Grew up, you know, just down the road from us. And then you add Lanny Smallwood and Macy Pfeiffer. I mean, those are, you know, two players that reasonably close to us, Albertville, Alabama, and then Ingomar. And so you start working through this, and you think, you know, we got some players that we can work with. You got Favor Nwadazi back, again, from Nigeria. And so in the front court, we are a much different-looking team. You get Ariana Francisco de Oliveira. You add her from Brazil, and so it's an interesting gumbo. And then you think you get Madison Francis back too, you know, one of the best players in the Southeastern Conference. And so there are some pieces here that are very intriguing. But the main thing I think you look at is, you know, I don't know how well we're going to handle the basketball, but our length as a team is really good, especially compared to what it has been. And so we ought to be good on the glass. And again, I think Sam's done a really good job kind of integrating into our community. And if you ever see him around, he's happy to talk to you. You know, and I think one of the things that they've done a really good job of is really pulling the fans in and making them feel a part of it. I've had a chance to go speak at that tip-off club meeting before. A very dedicated group of women's basketball fans that that love our ladies and they love our coaching staff and Jimmy and everybody. I mean, it's a great group. And now you're continuing to add some important pieces. And so, you know, we'll see what they look like. But again, I'm kind of getting a little bullish about the lady basketball team. And wouldn't that be great, right, to get back and have some cool things? But, you know, that's kind of where that sits. And if you don't know, Mississippi State going to play at Rockabilly's Stadium in Jackson, Tennessee against Western Kentucky. It's interesting, too. Like, the coaches are both from Iowa. They're also the same age. And so you start thinking about there has to be some sort of connection. I hadn't talked to O'Connor about that yet, but I'm sure that's the case. I'm sure he and the coach from Western Kentucky go back. But that exhibition is going to be played. There are four exhibitions. One of them we played at Duty Noble Field, but this one's going to be played Sunday, October the 18th at 1 p.m. October the 18th at 1 p.m. Now, and for those of you that are kind of curious how that kind of pairs up, because, you know, we go to Biloxi during the open date in our football schedule. This October 18th date is the day after the LSU game down in Baton Rouge. So it's going to be difficult to do both unless you really, really work hard. And the good thing is that game at LSU is going to be an early game. So maybe you get through the LSU game and then maybe make that drive to Jackson, Tennessee. You can do a twofer on the weekend. But that, again, something to be aware of. We don't know the details of the Starkville scrimmage yet. There was some talk about it being Arkansas Little Rock. I don't know if it's going to be the case, but we'll see. But details on that soon. So you're going to have multiple opportunities to see your Diamond Dogs in action, not just in the regular fall scrimmages, but in some scrimmage games against D1 opponents. And you remember what a big deal it was the first year they let us do it? We did it against Alabama, and people were jacked, right? And then they expanded it this year. The first year they've allowed four. And, I've talked to Brian O'Connor about that aspect of it. The more times that you can play true competition, right? And in Western Kentucky has had, I think, four consecutive winning seasons. They went to a regional in 25. Didn't go last year. But you get Auburn and you get Southern Miss. Both of them, of course, hosted regionals last year. And so having the chance to evaluate your team against an NCAA tournament team is a great thing. And the more chances you get to do that, the more you learn about your team. And so, yeah, we plan for that. Be grateful that we have it. I love those Sunday scrimmages after a Saturday home game in football. Right? I love it. And many of you have places here in town or you stay the whole weekend. We've got a Saturday night game or a Saturday afternoon game. You just stay over and have a chance to go watch the Diamond Dogs play for a few innings and then head home. And that's just a great way to spend your weekend. And so be mindful of that as we kind of move forward. Put that on your calendar and be thinking about that aspect of it. And a lot of you guys aren't going to go down to Tiger Stadium for football, even for an early game. You know, I love nighttime at Tiger Stadium. I don't like it when it's us playing, though. I think our best chance to win is play during the day. So I kind of like where that sits on the schedule. But nevertheless, if you're going to make that trip, you could still probably get a twofer. But if you're going to watch the LSU game from home, you got a chance to go up there and watch the Bulldogs play in Rockabilly Stadium against Western Kentucky. And again, that's something you should think about. I'm told the press box is expansive and the stadium itself is pretty cool. They don't have a minor league affiliate now. It's like an independent team, if memory serves me correct. And so that's something to be mindful of. But it's a place that they're proud of, and it's not that far a drive for those of us that live here in North Mississippi. And so we look forward to seeing you there. We'll have full coverage of the event that weekend. We'll have a crew down at Baton Rouge, and then we'll have some folks head up to the Jackson, Tennessee to go cover baseball. Yeah, so I had a chance yesterday to speak at a fraternity house, and I want to share a little bit of that with you guys as well. Number one, I love being able to have the chance to do that. I do. I love the chance to be able to go sit and talk with young people and just kind of like, you know, sow some seeds in their lives and just kind of share some things. And the Delta Chi's have had me back-to-back years, and I joked with them yesterday. I said, the first time you invite me, I feel like I'm a friend. The second time, I feel like we're family. And there were a lot of guys who were there last year. And one of the things that I really kind of drilled down to them is personal accountability. And it's one of the things, too, when you get to be middle-aged and you got to pay a mortgage and raise kids, you better be accountable, right? But when you're first making that transition to adulthood, like the first real steps you take into young adulthood, it's like going off to school and being accountable for yourself. I mean, you know, like Keenum always tells everybody, go to class. And, you know, there's not going to be anybody here to make you. And there's going to be a lot of classes that are not even going to take roll. So if you don't go, it's up to you. And nobody's going to know until you bomb a test, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, your grades come out and you're not where you need to be. And again, your family is making such an investment in you. You need to reward that investment, but more importantly, it's the investment you're making in yourself. You know, and we got some great news this week, too. You know, my daughter Mia is in her second year of law school at Harvard. They don't start classes and, you know, for a couple more weeks, but she's living about a 1 minute walk from Fenway Park, which I think is great, right? Lived at Harvard Square last year, but she's going to be a teaching fellow this year and be a student rep for Bloomberg, and all that stuff is super cool. And the thing that I try to impress upon them, now granted, I get it, my daughter is a one percenter, okay, and that's not just me being, you know, little league dad here. I understand that her opportunities are maybe not those of other people, but she got her undergraduate at Mississippi State. My oldest daughter, Audrey, got her computer engineering degree at Mississippi State. And Audrey is now a team lead with a defense contractor and doing some incredible things with her life. And, of course, Mia, you know, in a position to be named the top 1L law student at Harvard after winning five Dean's Prizes last year. And so I say that because Mississippi State may be small town, but it's not small time. Mississippi State prepared my oldest daughter for her career as a computer engineer to go out and do things that help people that protect our freedom. It's a very important job. You know, she'd love to go write code for video games, but right, what she's doing now is more important. And my youngest daughter, of course, you know, had a very distinguished career here at Mississippi State. Not that Audrey didn't, but she didn't win national championships like Mia did. But, you know, Mia went to Mississippi State and got to know Whit Wade and Jane Anna Wade and what great people they are. And, you know, Whit's kind of the guy that explains a lot to me and Dana, you know, about how significant so much of this is. But I share that not to brag on my children, but to brag on Mississippi State. To brag on the education and the quality of that education that they got here. And not just in the classroom, but just kind of being socialized for adulthood. Learning to be responsible. Learning to have your own study system. You know, learning to be accountable for yourself and understanding that you're building towards something. The goal is not just to graduate with a degree. That's not, if that's the only goal you have, well, I think you're going to kind of waste away some of your opportunities here. You know, the goal is to prepare you to be an elite contributor to society and in the workforce when you leave here. And whether you go off to grad school and do something else when you get done with your undergrad here, then, hey, God bless you. But Mississippi State can be a springboard to greatness. There are a lot of people within our state, and I was born and raised here, right? There's a lot of people within our state that feel like that somehow we're second best. And I'm here to tell you that's not true. And there are other people that pick places because they want to go party. I remember when I was in high school, the big story was, hey, we all wanted to go to University of California at Chico because it was named the number one party school in America. Right? That was our criteria. Truthfully. Right? It's like, well, then you go to a major school, there's going to be a lot of partying anyway. And we spent a lot of weekends up here hanging out with college kids. And, you know, we had a good time. I had friends that were going to school here. Many of you did too. But, you know, all of that stuff is so minor. It's not just a social aspect of it. Right? And I tell you, I was so impressed yesterday. I parked over there by the FAMU house and walked over to Delta Chi. How nice those grounds are kept at the FAMU house. It's like, this is great, right? None of my children did Greek at State. None of them did. And they still met like their best friends, you know, the people that'll be in their weddings. And all that stuff's important, right? It's a shared experience. And you're kind of learning to be self-reliant and learning to become an adult and be responsible and accountable for yourself together. But I cannot brag on Mississippi State enough. You know, there's so much of this, people say, well, you know, a lot of it's how people are raised. And there is some truth in that, right? We held our children accountable, but we also patterned behaviors where they could be successful. We didn't just tell them, hey, this is what you do. We just kind of showed them, here's the way. Here's what I've done, right? And you can do it too. And so that prepared them to go to Mississippi State. In no way can I or Dana claim all of the credit for how our children turned out. You know, a lot of it was us. A lot of it was them. But also, too, it was the professors and instructors that they had growing up, spending time in the historical school system, which prepared them for Mississippi State, and then them going to Mississippi State and then embracing the culture of Mississippi State. And taking full advantage of the opportunities they had as Mississippi State students. That's why. Now, we may have instilled the mindset and the work ethic, but they had to do the work. But in any way to diminish the contributions that Mississippi State University has made in the lives of my children would be short-sighted. And, of course, my youngest will graduate a year from December. I was hoping it was going to be in the spring, but it's going to be, you get three more semesters. Ian, you know, works at Bulldog Burger Company. So he's waited on some of you all, has had the same experience. And he's a TA this year, and he's so excited about it. He's working on some research stuff. These are important projects. I mean, these are important things that change our world and our state and our country. And those opportunities are available to you too. Available to your children and your grandchildren. So don't ever sell Mississippi State short. Right? It's not all about DNA. It's about drive. And again, it's about personal accountability. And one of the things that I am a big proponent of course, I have four sisters. I have four. And you know, my mom had a twin, and my favorite aunt, I'm not ashamed to say it, my favorite aunt, my Aunt Kathy, is you know, somebody that's been an entrepreneur and has traveled the country and is a public speaker and done some incredible things with her life. So women have been a big part of my life, and I don't just mean from a romantic thing, but you know, my great-grandmother, well, my grandmother and my great-grandmother, you know, basically took care of me when I was a kid. And so I feel like we, as men, have a duty to ensure that they're protected. Now, there's a lot of people to say, you know, I don't need your protection, but it's still available to you, right? Don't try to be too tough when there are situations that can be handled. And one of the things that I always talk to high school and college young men about is you have an obligation and a responsibility. When you're at a bar and your friend gets up to go to the restroom or to take a phone call and her drink is sitting there uncovered, you have a responsibility to ensure that it's protected. And that's one of the things that we talk about being gentlemen. Protecting ladies is a part of that deal. And listen, I don't give me your messages. I'm not interested in having the dialogue or the discussion. That's part of our responsibility as men, is to ensure that the women that we love and the women that we know are safe and protected. It is an obligation, a duty, and a responsibility. And it doesn't matter if it's even just a friend of a friend. I mean, if you're just out with a group, we have an obligation to look after people. Period. And so I share that with them, and I share that with you. And, of course, I talked a lot more extensive, and they had a bunch of sports questions. But very proud of the young men and what they are aspiring to be. We've got a fraternity house over there full of engineers, you know, aspiring engineers. And, you know, Joe and I, you know, both kind of like yesterday when he was going around the room having the young freshmen introduce themselves. Well, I'm in aerospace engineering, you know. I'm in computer engineering. And it's like, it's one of the reasons you come to Mississippi State, you know, is to be an engineer. But again, it's so impressive to me that so many of these young men have real ambition. That it's not just, hey, I came here to party for 4 years, and then if I get my degree in 4 to 5 years, then I'll kind of grow up a little bit. I love the mature approach of these young men, and I wish each of those young men the absolute best this year and beyond. If you hadn't done so, visit DutyNobleBook.net. That's a new one, DutyNobleBook.net, and you get signed copies of all of my sports titles. That's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dogpile, The Dude, and of course the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls. And come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. Floating has changed my life. Perhaps it can show some benefit to yours too. I suspect it will. Come see for yourself. Call my beautiful bride, Dana, at 662-268-7601. She can tell you anything you need to know about floating and get you on the schedule right there over the phone. If you don't feel like talking or you don't need to talk, you're already sold on it, just visit truerest.com, get more information. Or you can download the True Rest app and set your appointment online. We do ask for your first appointment that you come 30 minutes early. And come join us over at jeanspage.com. Again, 60% off the annual subscription price during the month of August as we prepare for kickoff. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.